Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are taking on the Minnesota Wild tonight. John Hines back at Bridgestone Arena, and it is a big one. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, there's been some discussion this week about the Nashville Predators and the trade deadline.
Yes.
Just a little bit. Barry Trotz joined our station earlier this week and confirmed the Frank Saravalli report that as long as the Predators are in the playoffs, he does not intend to trade goaltender UC Saros. And he said, of course, I'm leaving the door open. And if there was an offer that came across his table that absolutely blew him away, then he would have to have conversations.
I believe he said knocked him out of his chair.
Excuse me. And then an offer that knocked him out of his chair, which I believe is probably along the same lines.
Same kind of offer,
that he would talk to UC Saros' people. What do you think is to come of this, and what's the latest that you've heard on the UC Saros front?
Well, Carolyn, I believe more likely than not Saros stays now. Like, it's been a wild couple of weeks for this. I wrote, 2 weeks ago, I never thought I would see a day where Saros got traded by the Predators. And then all of a sudden there were people saying 50-50. And then Nashville got hot and got into the race. And as you heard Trotz say, and I know he said it on your station, that he felt he owed it to them to let them compete. And I think it's also because I think the ask was very high on Saros. And I think even before Trotz made that public, the ask was very high. So, I think he had a kind of a good idea of what the market was and what people were thinking for him. And so it was a position where he could simply say, I'm going to keep this guy unless someone makes me change my mind. And I'm not surprised. I think that's probably the case for a lot of the players he's looking at. Like, Nashville's had some guys out there, Fabro, Carrier, Trenin, Novak. And, listening to, again, his interview with you guys and some of the other comments Trotz has had, I think the one guy who might be a little bit different is Novak. Just because, because of how talented he is and how inexpensive he is this year, I just think they could do really well for him. And that seems to be the one, also because he's a UFA, that seems to be the one that, if Nashville can't sign him, I think that's the one that is most, I don't know if in danger is the right word, or is likely to go at the deadline if he's not signed, even if you're in the race.
Tommy Novak is an interesting one, and I do want to get into that, but just a quick note on the UC Saros front. Do you think that, UC Saros and this messaging from Barry Trotz that it's more than likely that he'll stay in Nashville, is that because of how this team has been playing, how they now find themselves in a playoff spot, or is it because there weren't any offers or attractive enough offers?
No, I think it's a combination of things. I don't think there was a lack of offers. I don't believe that. I think there absolutely was interest in Saros. He's a good goalie, and people see that. And he has another year, so it's not just a rental. You get him for two tries with the opportunity to sign him for even longer. And I think that was really attractive to people. Look, I think if you guys were in a position where you weren't in the race, it might be different. I still think the price would be high, but I think Trotz might, I don't know if bend is the right word, but be a little more flexible. Look, I think the other thing, too, is if, you guys went through the thing with the U2 and, I don't think people need to be embarrassed. I saw there was some of the quotes where the players felt they were embarrassed. I don't think anybody needs to feel urgent, but, I don't think anybody needs to feel embarrassed by it. But look, how did the players respond? They responded by winning 5 games in a row and putting you guys in a playoff position. I think Trotz also has to show, as a manager, that if your players respond in that way, in that positive a way, you have to reward them. And I think that's all part of this. I think it's you know, you have to show your players that they've earned a reward. He's not a UFA. You have to set a high bar to move a player like that. And I'm sure also, too, there's something to be said for the fans as well. I mean, you know, fans, the loyal Predators fans, like, they want to see, they're probably enjoying this. There's probably, you guys are at the rink, there's probably a big buzz for that game today. I think all of that, Carolyn, fits into these kinds of decisions.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought Podcast. Now, Elliot, you did bring up Tommy Novak, and we, Barry was on with Jarrett this week,
yeah.
And he talked a little bit about Novak and trying to sign him, and if they can't sign him, then more than likely he will try to move him. The question I have for you is that what would be the number you believe circulating around the NHL that would be a number that the Predators can sign or would be willing to sign Novak to? And if they can't sign him, what do you think they get for him?
Well, I think Derek, a lot of it comes down to term. Like, if you take a look at the Predators in their history, they have had some deals where they sign players to longer terms to keep the money down. And so I think that, to me, is the number one question, is what kind of term is Novak looking for? Like, I think I was on last week, and I asked a bunch of teams, and we talked about it, and I said that it was a situation, not a number, was in the fours. And, like, obviously, if he goes to free agency, the higher the number gets. I have no doubt that the Predators are going to say, look, we'll give you more term if we can keep the AAV down. That, you know, this is a no-tax state.
Elliot is, we lost Elliot there. Didn't sound
Sounds
great.
Like he's in transition.
Yeah, from the car to the, you know, out of the car to in the car.
Did we have a fumble on the play? Did he fumble the phone? That's the question, or the car keys.
Sounds like he may have.
Yeah, it seems like he was going down the road of, you know, keeping Tommy, but, you know, we don't want to pay you, say, the four, but what
right.
we will give you is
Four's
an extra
rich.
Year or two.
Yeah, that security
added on,
exactly, of the guarantee for
exactly.
more years. Yeah,
yeah, and that then is up to Novak's people to say.
I'll take it or not,
but then that's a big risk. And we talked about this yesterday with Tommy. You know, maybe they can, because Poyle was good at this. Maybe we can get you to stay. You're homegrown. You like the team. If you fit well here, take a few more years, a little less AAV,
yeah.
and you'll be in a perfect position.
Sounds like we may have gotten Elliot back.
Yes. Sorry about that.
No worries.
All right, so I...
Where did I drop out?
No,
where
we were...
Because I was talking for another 2 minutes straight when I was off the air.
Yeah,
we
were talking
stuff.
About
it
the
It was the best
AAV.
Episode all day, Elliot. Yeah. We missed it.
You were talking about the AAV with Tommy Novak and trying to maybe give him more years, but less
yes.
than the AAV.
Yes. Well, if you take a look at the Predators' history, that's kind of what they've done in a few cases, right? So I think that's one of the biggest questions is going to be... I think I was on with you... last week where I talked about, like, if you ask other teams, they'll tell you that in the open market his number's probably in the fours. Now there's a big difference there between like 4.1 and 4.9, but that's what a few teams told me. They think that that's where he's going to get. I think the question becomes, like, Nashville, will they give him more term for a lower number? Novak would probably want some kind of trade protection there because Nashville's a no tax state. And if you're going to take less money, you're going to want a protection in case, you know, they want to move you somewhere else. So that's a big part of it. I think ultimately, like, I think the Predators want to keep him, and I think his preference is to stay. In my history, that is generally a good thing, Derek. The one thing I wonder about in this particular case is this might be Novak's best chance to take care of himself and his family financially. And sometimes that plays into it, no question, which I understand. I think if they end up having to deal him, I think they'll do well. Even though right now he's a rental, like, he can score. He doesn't come with a big price. You should be able to get a first-round pick or a prospect that you like, because I think there will be competition for him.
Now, we talked about UC Soros, potential of him being traded. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And then you move on to Scarf. Well, what can you get for the young guy? Well, Barry was on, and it doesn't seem like that's not going to happen. But he did bring it up, Blinkinen, and he was like a used sales carman or just a car.
Oh, I like that nickname, Blinkinen.
Yeah. Blinkinen. Blinkinen.
That's what you want to do. You want to blank him, right?
Blinkinen.
That's a good one. I'm going to run that down the pike there. That could be a great nickname.
It may catch on. Yeah. but he brought up Blinkinen, and he was trying to sell Blinkinen on other teams. So is there a possibility that Lankinen could be a guy that they move before the trade deadline?
I think it's possible. The thing is that what's going on out there right now, Derek, is that there are teams looking at some goalies, but it comes down to cost, right? Like, the goalie market this year has been really inflated. The prices being asked have been very high. We'll see if it changes now. Like a team like Philadelphia, they just put one of their goalies on waivers. I think if they could get a goalie for like a fifth or a sixth round pick, they would consider it. So if that's kind of the return, yes. But other than that, I'm looking through all the contenders right now who might need a rental. There aren't a lot of them, so it kind of devalues the price. But it's not impossible. It's really not impossible.
That is something to watch for, because Barry Trotz did kind of lay the groundwork that Askarov would maybe be ready for more NHL games, sort of on not the starter, but you know, to get some games. And so that's something to keep your eye on.
He was really making his pitch for Kevin Lankinen.
He was really trying to sell Lankinen out there in the public eye. Elliot, you'll be happy to know we had a fun exercise on our show where I was Barry Trotz, Caroline was the GM of another contender, and D. Mace was the agent for Tommy Novak, and I didn't get anywhere. I lost. These guys drove a really hard bargain here. But
we don't play.
What we tried to do is kind of you touched on this with Novak at the beginning of the discussion here. It's because his salary cap number is so low, and a team that's up against the cap could fit him under without doing a lot of gymnastics. That makes his value even more. So what are we talking about as in terms of, could you get a first rounder for Tommy Novak? A lot of people here would say, wow.
Yeah, I think you could. But, I'll tell you this. One thing I learned yesterday was Calgary made a trade with Dallas where Dallas got Chris Tanev, who was the top right-handed defenseman remaining on the market. And Calgary didn't take a first-rounder in return. They took a second-round pick and a prospect who was drafted in the second round a couple years ago. And, a lot of us look at it and we're kind of like, okay, they didn't get a first-round pick. And, someone said to me, the first round this year, after about 20, like, we have three people at our work. Jeff Merrick's one guy. The other guy's names are Sam Cosentino and Jason Bakula. They're our draft gurus. They see a lot of these players more than I do. And they say that this year, the first round really drops off after 20. And what Calgary decided, they felt the same way. So they said a prospect who's a little older, he's playing his first year pro this year, a prospect who's a little older, what we've seen of him, we value him more than the late first rounder in this year's draft. So I think the question is, what do the Predators value? Are they first rounders a first rounder? We take that. Or are they like Calgary in the sense that they think that the late first round this year, not that great, and they'd rather a prospect? Now, the one thing I think about a guy like Novak is I think there's a lot of interest in him. I think there's and the thing that's unique about him, too, is that I think there are contenders who would be interested in him, but I also think there are non-contenders who would be interested in him if they could sign him. I've heard that out there. Now, that all depends on what Nashville's willing to do. Some teams are good with saying, we'll let you talk to him about an extension. Some teams are not because they feel that they lose control of the process. But if the Predators were willing to let some teams talk to him about an extension, I believe there are teams that are outside the playoff race that would be interested in getting the jump on the market and signing Novak for next year. So I think his market is a little bit unique in the sense that you shouldn't just look at the contenders for him. You should look at some teams who might say, yeah, we're not as good as we could be now, but we think we could be a lot better next year.
What could the return for Tommy Novak be?
Well, I think that depends on, if you're doing If you're doing a rental, I think a first rounder or a good prospect is very possible, depending on, you know, the competition. But I think that's possible. If you're talking about an extension somewhere, it gets higher. Novak's a good player. Like he's a fascinating guy because he's very different. He's a bit newer on the scene, doesn't make a lot of money, but he's a good player, and teams are interested in him. If the Predators feel they can't sign him, there are other teams that would like to get the jump. And if you, like I said, Carolyn, if you get him with an extension, the return is higher.
Elliot, you mentioned the Tanev trade, which was a big one last night. And if you've been following, if you're a fan that follows the trade rumors, Tanev is a right shot defenseman. There's been a sweepstakes for him. I don't know how Toronto feels right now. They've got to be, oh, we didn't get Tanev. But I would presume that all of those teams that didn't get Tanev are probably going to take their turns calling Barry Trotz today about the right shot D that he's got. And, you know, there's a couple of them. You got Fabro, you got Carrier, and you've had Tyson Barrie for a long time that you could get for probably not a whole lot if you could fit him under the cap, but his cap thing. So what do you think it does? Let's just take Carrier. What does it do for the market for Carrier now that Tanev is off the board?
Well, I think that Tanev, like Dallas had Tanev as their number one guy by a significant margin. So they got that done, and they're pretty happy. I think there were a few other teams that saw it the same way. And I think the question becomes now, what do you like? You know, we all like different ice creams, right? Do you like Rocky Road? Do you like Gold Medal Ribbon? Do you like chocolate? Do you like strawberry? And I think that's what it's coming down to now now, do you want a physical guy like Lyubushkin? Or do you like Carrier? Do you like David Savard, although his price will be a bit higher because he has another year? Do you like Nick Jensen? I think now it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? So I think there's some teams out there that like Carrier, but I think that there was a drop-off after Tanev.
Okay, so this is another thing that's getting kicked around our circles a lot here. Elliot, you've got let's put yourself in the position of that Nashville locker room. You're down there. You're Andrew Burnett. You're Ryan McDonough. You're Roman Josi. And you're hearing all this and you're saying, wait a minute, we have won six in a row. We're in the playoff spot right now. Somebody's got to knock us out. If you take away Carrier and Novak, just to use an example, what's the plan? All of a sudden, we got to do something here. That hurts our team. Now you think of it as Barry Trotz. He's been in the trenches, right? His career is mostly as a coach down there in that trench. But now here he is as the general manager having to balance, as he calls it, the short term with the long term. The emotions of your team playing well now, what have you seen throughout your days on how that can influence a general manager? Because if you were cold-blooded, you took all the emotions out of it, you might do one thing. But the emotions are natural, right?
The emotions are natural, and the emotions are natural. I think there's a lot of things you look at. One of the things that happens, and I would say this would be interesting about someone who's a new GM like Barry Trotz. Like, Brian Burke always used to tell me, and there's other GMs as well, and actually I was talking to one of them today, you set a price. And particularly when you're new in your job or you're younger, and you better stick to that price. Because if you don't, you get the reputation that if I wait this guy out, he'll drop his price. And I'm sure on some level, that's kind of what Trotz is thinking, is that, you know, he's been around, you know, he was around last year, but, you know, like David Poile was still there, and I'm sure David Poile's still around now. But this is the first one where Trotz is kind of in the chair as the guy. And so I think that one of the things that people are trying to establish is, what is Barry Trotz like as a GM? Can he be, I don't know, pushed around? First of all, it's ridiculous to talk about Barry Trotz getting pushed around. In the old Western Hockey League, nobody, you could not survive there if you got pushed around. But, like, as a GM, does he hold his line? Is he somebody that if you don't, if you wait, will he panic or does his price drop? So I think part of it is also Trotz trying to send a message that I have a line and here's my line and you have to come to my line. And we'll get all our answers over the next 8 days. But one of the things I do wonder about new GMs is, do they say, look, if you don't meet it, I'm not doing it? Because sometimes you have to do that.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate your time and always appreciate your insight. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Appreciate it. You too. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. He is the very best.